Hi, this is Dylan Schmid, and I play the role of Balthar on ABC's Once Upon a Time, and you're listening to Once Upon a Time's fan podcast. Jack and Colleen has asked me to say a few words. So first, I would love to thank the fans for all the support. Some of my favorite moments on set was working aside Robert Carlyle, Brad Dourif, the director, and the crew. I also loved watching and doing the stunts in the scene when I fell down the massive green vortex. Thanks for all the support. All the best.
Oh, hello. We've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a dearie, an evil regal, a kick-ax Team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in. Come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, the interesting story behind this is... I'm a little loud. Wow. So, initially when we did this live, you were actually moving a refrigerator.
I wasn't moving it.
A gentleman.
The moving gentleman. There were two of them, and they were moving the refrigerator.
Okay.
I was just supervising and making sure that things were out of their way.
Yes. So, anyhow, that's what was going on at the time. Now,
right.
What's happening now is we're redoing the show because for some reason I did not record it, and I'm making sure that I'm recording now, and it looks like that is happening.
Okay, that's good.
So, initially when we did it live, you were not here, but now you are here, so there's going to be things in that I mentioned in the actual live show that actually aren't going to be going on. Like, I'm going to be saying, you weren't here, but actually you are here, so that's that.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go through, and now the levels are acting funny. This is really neat.
You should probably just leave them where they were.
Yeah, probably.
That's a great idea.
Okay. So, today is Sunday.
It is indeed. Actually,
we really don't have any live people.
No, we don't. But here's something we should mention, because I think this is awesome, because I would have mentioned it yesterday had I been on the first half of the live show. Today, Jeffrey Kaiser and Kaylee Moir are getting married. So excellent. Congratulations to Jeffrey and Kaylee.
Congratulations to you two.
Yay.
Wonderful kids.
It's awesome.
Getting married and facing life together.
Yep.
So that's very nice.
Very exciting news.
Jeffrey is a very, very cool guy.
Yes.
Got to meet him and his family. And Kaylee's really fantastic. I got to interview her. So
Yeah, we had fun
We wish you all both the best.
We do. We absolutely do.
And many happy years ahead.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So I'm going to bring up my notes, and we will dive in. So I just wanted to break in briefly and just say a couple of things. Is I want to thank Dylan Schmidt so much for calling in and leaving that great voicemail. He brought so much to that character, and it was so good to see that side of Rumpelstiltskin, the fatherly side, and it was just really fantastic. And just watching Dylan do the Balefire role, he brought so much to it. He's really a great actor, and I just want to thank you for taking your time, Dylan, and calling in. And we are your fans, and we support you. So let us know, especially if there's going to be any more that you're going to be playing in Once Upon a Time or any other projects. Just let us know. You're always welcome to leave a voicemail here and let us know what's going on. And we're here to support you. So thanks again so much. There is one other thing I wanted to bring to your attention is the Once Upon a Time fan website is at onceuponatimefans.co.uk, and they are going to be publishing, actually now, a interview with Robert Carlyle. And in the interview, they're going to be announcing he's donating the chipped cup from Skin Deep to the Once Upon a Time fans.co.uk site to help with a charity auction. And they're organizing in September to raise money for Robert's awesome charity with kids. That's what it's called. And he's also signed the cup, and he's also going to be getting Emily to sign it as well. So this is going to be a huge deal. And we want to support Robert and his charity, and also the Once Upon a Time fans.co.uk site. And it's really cool that we're all kind of getting together to raise money for these great, great charities. So go ahead and check out that site. Go ahead and read the interview and get involved with that charity. We're behind it 100%. So anyway, thanks so much. Yesterday, I skipped over talking about Brave because I wanted you to be here.
Oh, okay.
To add your thoughts.
Well, we kind of did talk about Brave.
Yes, we did. But I'm saying that.
Okay, gotcha.
Skipping over.
Gotcha.
So we also had the opportunity to go see Glow with the Show.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
At a special annual pass holder event.
Yes.
At Disney's California Adventure.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. So Glow with the Show is not like, I mean, that was just kind of the event, the name of the event that
right.
they did. Because what it is it's World of Color.
Yes.
Which is normally shown nightly at Disney's California Adventure anyway. But what made it special and why they called it Glow with the Show was that annual pass holders were invited to have a preview, private preview, after park hours. So it was very, very late.
Yes.
And then we got Glow with the Show ears. Excuse me. Which are these amazing Mickey ears that have lights inside of them in the ear part that actually glow. And they glow different colors in synchronization with the show, with the World of Color show. So when you have a sea of, you know, a couple thousand people all wearing the ears and they're all flashing the same colors or in synchronization, it's pretty amazing and pretty intense to see.
I do have some videos and there's a little bit of jittery. I'm trying to hold it as still as I can.
Yeah.
But I do give you the idea that, for instance, when it's a green section, let's say, mm-hmm. when they're showing a hillside, mm-hmm. maybe during the Brave section
right,
of it,
right.
there's all the ears turn green.
Yes.
When it's an ocean, when they're doing the Finding Nemo or mm-hmm. the Little Mermaid section, for instance, all the ears are blue.
Right. And then when they did like Bambi's raindrops
yes.
in the forest, everybody's flashed white mm-hmm. very quickly, but not all at the same time. So you had, you know, the person next to you, their ears were not flashing the same time as yours were. So you had like this constant what felt like raindrops hitting our ears.
Yes.
It was really amazing.
So in effect, they were extending out the, because at this point right now, they've pretty much perfected, I would say, the water fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they call it when they shoot water up in a wall fashion and they project.
Right. Water screens.
Mm-hmm. Water screens. When they project a movie or something on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Images. And so it looks like a wall showing a film, but it's water.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're doing a lot of other things in World of Color. But what they've done now is they've extended that wall, let's say, upon the heads of all the people that are watching.
Mm-hmm.
So that all now becomes a part of the show
right.
as well. So right. thus, Glow with the show. And it wasn't perfect. There were certain ears
right.
that didn't work in sync.
Right.
And sometimes some ears were glowing when the rest were not.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing, too, is it's not they're not on all the time.
No, they're not.
Sometimes they turn the ears off. And we were there with some friends, and we were talking about they probably work on a frequency, like maybe a microphone frequency or a radio frequency,
radio,
something. That it can control certain areas. And it seems like it's almost like a GPS type of
a little thing. Yeah.
Because it's area centric. Mm-hmm. Because there were certain sections where of the show where certain areas like section A, B, C would all kind of act in certain. It was really incredible because it was almost like they could control what color and how often it turned off and on. Mm-hmm. I was really mm-hmm. impressed, actually.
I was too. And the cool thing is these ears will now do this every time we go see World of Color. So right. we can go back to the show and they will run sequence of exactly what they did when we were, you know, at the Glow of the Show. Not only that, they also work interactively in Cars Land, mm. from what I'm told, as well as the Mad Tea Party over in Hollywood Backlot. Mm. So it's really kind of cool to have these ears to, you know, walk around and wear them through the park and then be in certain sections and have them interact. What I also wanted to say is that we were given these ears as part of, you know, it's kind of like a, hey, you're annual pass holders. Here's your perk for being a pass holder.
Yep.
But anyone can buy these ears at the park.
Yes.
So you True. Can get them. And then the cool thing is, I mean, it's kind of silly if you're the only one wearing these ears in the show. You're not going to see anything. It's not going to mean anything to you. You're showing everybody else around you. But when you get a bunch of other people wearing these ears, it makes the experience even more interactive and much more fun.
It reminded me. Now, when I looked around and I saw, and I have to tell you that my ears weren't working properly at one point, and one of the cast members ran over to me
mm-hmm.
with another set of ears.
Yeah.
And then they were ready to trade me out
yep.
because they definitely wanted us to have a near perfect experience
exactly.
with it.
Exactly, yeah.
And so a cast member ran over and tapped me on the shoulder and said, sir, I don't think your ears are working. And at that point, they kicked in and mm-hmm. began to work again. So, oh, your ears are working. Okay, very good. And then the cast member walked away. So they were on it. They were watching everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they had a ton of cast members and they were watching yep. everybody yep. and they all had extra ears ready to hand them out. It yep. was really a cool, cool event.
Just, you know, a quick aside, I think because of the price hike and the difference mm-hmm. and all that, I think they're really trying to do a lot more of these annual pass holder events to make the annual pass holders feel more special.
Mm-hmm.
And these events, I wish they were a little earlier, but that's just me. So yeah, I wanted to mention something else, too. This reminds me of the My Pal Mickey kind
yeah.
of a thing where Mickey would react and say certain things in certain areas and in certain times of the day. So the ears mm-hmm. are kind of an extension.
I think it's the same technology.
Of that.
Or yeah. a very similar technology, maybe a next generation of that same technology.
I can see in the future, and actually some guy was talking about it, that perhaps we've all seen football games where people mm-hmm. hold up cards,
mm-hmm.
right, in certain sections of the arena or the wherever the sporting event is to spell out things and to mm-hmm. switch it over and to show certain scenes.
Right.
And I can see in the future that these ears could possibly have some type of a flat plastic screen on top to kind of extend out to look more like grass or like something and perhaps spell something out as well as the color of the ears. There's a lot of things that you can do with it. And it's almost like we took our first step. That's the kind of way I felt, is that this isn't perfected yet, but it's a first step. And I have to applaud Disney for really expanding out electronically and digitally and technology getting us involved. So I was really impressed, and I'll post the two videos I did of the initial like 2 minutes or so, and then also the Brave section.
Mm-hmm.
That's new.
Yeah.
So yeah, awesome. Glow with the show. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Big news this week is that we have two new guest stars that are being introduced to the Once Upon a Time Land show.
Family.
The first one's Jamie Chung will be playing Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie Chung was actually part of the real world way back in the day.
Oh, okay.
And she's done some modeling and done some work along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in Sucker Punch.
Oh, okay.
Not Citizen Kane.
No, but it was actually a really good movie. I liked it.
The effects were incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The digital things, the way
I thought the story was actually really good, too. It was very well written.
Yeah, yeah. You know, some people kind of had a little problem here and there with things. But I think for what it was, it was an enjoyable film.
Hmm.
And the interesting thing is she was also in Hangover 2, and I have not seen that.
No, we haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So also she was in Knife Fight.
Okay.
Now, Knife Fight, I don't know much about it, but what I do know is that Jennifer Morrison is already is also in it.
Oh, interesting.
Well. So let's kind of talk. There's actually a lot of Once Upon a Time connections with this film. Knife Fight is Richard Schiff, King Leopold is in it. Jamie Chung is in it, and Jennifer Morrison is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we kind of extend it to Lost and Once Upon a Time, Julie Bowen is in it.
Cool.
And if we kind of extend it further into, what the heck, Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix is in this movie. And further, Shirley Manson, the lead singer from Garbage, is in Knife Fight. So Rob Lowe's in it. So there's a lot of really kind of eclectic people in this film. So I will take a look and see if we can see it when it's out. Also, Sarah Bolger has been cast as Aurora.
Yay.
Or Sleeping Beauty.
Yes.
And Briar Rose, right?
That was her other name, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Aurora
was her birth name.
Yep.
Briar Rose was the name the three fairies gave her when they took her into the woods and let her, kind of kept her safe in the little cottage in the woods. They called her Briar Rose. And of course, Sleeping Beauty is, you know, the name of the movie, so.
Yep. So Sarah was in the Spiderwick Chronicles, and she's also in The Tudors.
Yes.
So when the news broke, Ima Friebisch really just kind of jumped out of her skin talking about how great Sarah Bolger was and The Tudors and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So,
and ironically, I didn't know this, but Aurora's her favorite princess. So
very good.
And actually, Sleeping Beauty is my favorite Disney movie, so it's kind of a nice little connection there. Knuckle bump, Ima.
There you go. There you go. So that is really incredible. We have two new additions to the cast of guest stars, and so that's really neat. I don't think that's going to be the last ones.
Nope.
And I did want to remind everyone that from my remembrance, Joanna Garcia was cast as guest star for The Little Mermaid last season.
Right, which she never showed up in the story. But that
they mentioned
it. Yeah.
Regina mentioned it to Rumpelstiltskin,
Right.
So keep in mind, you know, just they keep kind of adding on to the cast, but you may not see them for a while.
Right,
so.
Exactly. And they may change casting. We don't know.
Right.
I mean, that could very well be her schedule may, you know, prevent it. But we'll see. It'll be interesting.
So Once Upon a Time invades Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Full effect.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big reasons is there's no D23 this year. D23, for those of you who don't know, is kind of like a Comic-Con for Disneyland or Disney-ish things.
Mm-hmm.
And So this year there isn't one. Normally that's where Disney kind of focuses all their properties and all their shows and all their stuff.
Right.
But since there isn't one, we're invading Comic-Con. And there's a lot of things. Tim Burton's film, all kinds of Disney stuff is going to have booths and sessions and panels and all that. Mm-hmm. But Once Upon a Time is going to have a panel on July 14th. Mm-hmm. From 11 to 11:45, 45 minutes.
That's not enough.
45 minutes.
I know, that's not enough. Seriously, I don't know why they don't have like a three-hour panel.
I mean,
You know what? I'm sure they have other shows and stuff like that that they want to promote and what have you. But no.
The one thing I will say is we have a very good friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Is going to ask questions in the press room of the cast and production crew. So I've sent her a number of questions that are from us, and she will be asking those questions. So
yay.
It's good to have friends, and that's one of the main reasons why we do what we do.
Right.
It's just to make good friends, help each other out, right. And I'm just really excited for that, and I really thank you.
Because unfortunately, we're not able to go this year.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, anyway, July 14th, 11 to 11:45 mm-hmm. in Ballroom 20.
Okay.
That's where the Once Upon a Time panel will be. So Edward Kitsis, Adam Horowitz, Jennifer Goodwin, Jennifer Morrison, Lana Parrilla, Josh Dallas, and Megan Ory, and Emily DeRaven.
Emily DeRaven. Mm-hmm.
Is going to be there. So what's really neat is, since they've promoted Megan and Emily to regular stars, mm-hmm. they have invited them as well.
And Robert can't go because of recovering from something.
Right. He had an operation on his nose.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's going to go to the Edinburgh film
festival.
The festival mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be interviewed there. And it's rare for him to be interviewed. He's busy and got a lot of things going on, so it's really cool that he's going to be interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you haven't, kind of look through YouTube for he's been on Craig Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun interview.
And he also has been interviewed for his charity with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you can find an interview with Robert Carlyle, it's really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that With Kids interview. I've talked about it before, so I won't talk about
interview.
It again.
Yeah, that's great.
Then the Once Upon a Time cast, and I believe Eddie and Adam will be at a 45-minute autograph session in room 28C mm-hmm. starting at 12:15. I don't know the cost. I don't know anything more about that. So what I'm going to tell you is, when I give you this information, we got this from TVLine.com. Make sure that you follow Comic-Con if you're going to go on Twitter. Make sure that you look at all the materials. Things could change. Last minute notice. Mm-hmm. So I just want to tell you that. Also, is that G4 TV normally always does these interviews, and they mm-hmm. cover Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's going to be the case this year. But look online, look around. There's probably going to be, you know, some live webcams, and people are probably going to do some stuff. So keep up with what's happening, and there's probably going to be a lot of coverage from Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a number of listeners that are going to go, and I've kind of pleaded and asked them, you know, give us your 2 cents. I believe April's going.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so any pictures, any autographs maybe here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also I would say keep an eye out if you're going to be there for Jamie Chung to maybe make a little appearance. They may call her from the back to wave or something like that. Maybe Sarah as well. I don't know where Sarah is, Bulger, at this point.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But just, they love to do those little kind of surprises.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's just look for that.
Yeah.
It's been really neat following Lana on Twitter. She's been tweeting pics from SeaWorld and mm-hmm. some other areas. So it's kind of fun
mm-hmm.
To ask that. Now, If you think that's the only place where Once Upon a Time cast are going to be, you are wrong. There are some other ones that are going to be there. At the Revolution panel, Giancarlo Esposito will be there.
Sweet.
So again, another Once Upon a Time cast member. And the Revolution panel is going to be on Saturday, July 14th. I don't have the time, so if you're going to go, please check out the materials that they give out. And also make sure that you follow all the Comic-Con folks on Twitter for any last-minute changes. In the True Blood panel, Maleficent, Kristen Bauer Van Stratten will be there.
Nice.
In the panel. So, again, another one. And that's going to be on July 14th. And the True Blood panel on July 14th and Friday's schedule on July 13th. Just make sure that you check. I think she's also going to be in Powerful Women in Pop Culture from 4:15 to 5:15 in Ballroom 20. And I believe that's on July 13th. But please make sure that you check the material they give you. Some of this stuff is just thrown together so fast and posted because people want to get it out. But I just want to make sure that you're going the right place. If you don't have a ticket to Comic-Con and you're in the San Diego area, fear not. There is going to be a Once Upon a Time cast member that will sign stuff for you, and you can meet them if you get there at a certain point. So Raphael Sabarge was and is a part of the Mass Effect video game. Mm-hmm. And so BioWare has set up a BioWare base, they call it, at the Gaslamp Hilton. And it says you do not need a badge for entry, and you can play Mass Effect 3. But the most incredible thing is that you can have things signed by Raphael Sabarge and Kimberly Brooks on Saturday from 1 to 3. So if you're in San Diego, you didn't get a ticket to Comic-Con, go over there, say hi to Raphael, say hi from the Once Upon a Time Fan podcast, shake his hand, have him sign something, and that will be fantastic.
Yes.
So that's a little freebie if you can get down there. Also, there's going to be a Falling Skies panel. It's not officially said, but Jesse Schramm may show up again. Not official,
right?
So lots of opportunities this year, Comic-Con, and we cannot go, but we have good friends that are going to be there, and we appreciate them so much. So more about that in the future. A little bit of change in our spoiler policy, just a little teeny bit. We have the awesome opportunity of some listeners that live in the Steveston area, and they are going to be getting some photos of location filming and that kind of a thing. We'll go through them. We definitely want to post them because we appreciate that from them. And any photos from Steveston we think are just fantastic.
Oh yeah.
So if we feel that it's a spoiler, we will offer a link to it saying this is possibly a spoiler. If you want to view it, you can click on the link. But we're not going to put it out there.
Right.
Okay. So we're making it available, but all right.
We'll let you know that it's a spoiler in advance.
Yes. And
or possibly a spoiler in advance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have we'll have spoiler checkers saying, hey, this is a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow, Mark Davis, Photoshop extraordinaire. This guy is a magician with Photoshop. And I have been floored time after time after time at what Mark can do with graphics and pictures. And he's really, really good. And it's funny, if you really talk to him, he goes, well, I'm still trying to kind of figure it out. I think he's figured it out.
Yeah, he's definitely
figured it out. I think he has. So what he did is he put up a photo of Mr. Gold in a kind of a background. It looks really cool. And somebody printed it out and put it up in Mr. Gold's pawn shop in Steveston. And so
awesome.
Mark wants to send that person a poster. So if that was you, please let me know, Mark know. The email here at the podcast is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. So, you know, Mark's got love for you. He just wants to send you a poster and say thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool to see his work there.
Yeah, it is.
And he was floored. He really was.
Yeah.
Just so happy to see that. All right. So I'm going to play a clip. We're going to now go into our bio.
Okay.
For our cast member this time. So here is the...
Know your ear, puppet. Come out. And we promise we won't hurt you. We will find you, puppet. You've got something of ours and it calls to us. The gold calls to us.
Gold.
Hello, Poppy.
Polly!
What?
Polly.
So, I left the parlay thing in there, too. That's kind of a fun little thing they added.
Yes.
In one of the Once Upon a Time episodes.
Mm-hmm. They did actually do that, yes.
So, yes, Lee Ehrenberg.
Yay.
Pintel from the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. But we're going to talk about more than pirates for sure.
Yes.
Lee was born in Palo Alto, California on July 18th, 1962.
He's got a birthday coming up.
Yes, a little younger than me. Just a teeny bit.
Actually, no. He's a year older than you.
Oh, he's older than me?
Yeah.
No.
1 year older.
I feel older.
You
than
do.
Than just about everybody.
You do, but he's 1 year older.
All right.
Almost, yeah, not quite, but just under, he's 11 months older than you.
She helps me with my math. No good. So anyway, Lee was bitten by the acting bug at age 8 when he portrayed David in his Hebrew school play called Killing Goliath. So Ehrenberg notes that the parable could be the title of any actor's chances in this game. And the cool thing is as we really kind of unpack stories about him and his life, we'll see that he has really risen to the occasion. You know, he's done all kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
and he's got a big heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see that as we go forward. So it's interesting to note that Lee went to Santa Monica High School with the Brat Packers. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Sean Penn, Robert Downey Jr., and Emilio Estevez.
Really?
Yep. He co-wrote a play with Estevez, and it was directed by Sean Penn.
Wow.
So, I mean...
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew back then?
True.
Seriously, that's awesome. Had no idea.
Lee's first professional job was in 1986 at the Mark Taper Forum.
Okay.
And a play called Ghetto, directed by Gordon Davidson. And Gordon Davidson has been a sound editor for everything from Star Wars. I can't even finish the list of all the films that Gordon Davidson was in. And that's interesting about actors, is once you start to kind of work with people, it's like the Kevin Bacon thing. It's just...
6 degrees of separation, yeah.
Folks know this person and that person and somebody else and somebody else, and it's just that's really how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So after he got... his first professional job, he was cast in 3 films, Tapeheads with Tim Robbins and John Cusack.
Mm.
And then he started doing the guest appearances in Perfect Strangers, Seinfeld.
Nice.
And he was also he portrayed a rock promoter opposite Katie Sagal from Married with Children,
mm-hmm.
other things. and Sam Kinison in Tales from the Crypt.
Wow.
So, yeah, I remember when I was doing the interview with Kaylee, Jeffrey Kaiser's new wife, is that she said that Lee would tell his stories when she was doing makeup. Can you imagine the stories that he would tell?
Oh, dude. He's got to have some pretty amazing stories.
And not only pirates.
Oh.
But Star Trek, working with Sam Kinison, knowing Robert Downey Jr. and Sean Penn back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Good Lord.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then after that, he had roles in Arliss in Friends.
Yes.
Which
I actually just saw that episode not too long ago, and it's a great episode. It's hilarious. But the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Lee.
Yep.
And that was right after we started, right after Once Upon a Time, you know, started up. And once I, you know, I'm pretty sure we'd already seen Grumpy at that point in time. So I pinged him on Twitter, and he's like, oh yeah, that was kind of fun. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was awesome.
And he had roles in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Wow.
Star Trek: Deep Space Nine and Star Trek: Voyager. I think he starred in almost all iterations
of Star Trek.
Of Star Trek, except for the classic,
right?
Initial.
Well,
I think there was one more.
He would have been a child back then,
right? But I know,
very small child.
But I think there was one more that anyway. So here is a really, really cool clip I want to play when he's talking about fandom.
Oh, okay.
And how he views fans and how he's a fan, too. So this is really neat.
Hi, I'm Lee Ehrenberg, Pintel from Pirates of the Caribbean, and go ahead and record.
Mr. Ehrenberg, what has surprised you about fan behaviors?
Well, how nice most of them are. How well-behaved, actually. Very polite. I'm surprised.
What have you enjoyed the most?
I just like the diversity, you know, of the people. You know, I think that's kind of interesting that at least fans of, like, Pirates and, say, my fans, every shape, every size, every color, every age. And I think that's pretty cool. That means I think I'm an effective entertainer that will bring in the love to the mass, you know, the masses, which I know is our goal with Pirates for sure, you know. And also, you know, then when you're an actor, you might do one role that's more obscure and someone remembers it from 20 years ago. So you get that kind of feeling in your the warmth. You know, there's a thing that happens in an actor's career where until you do something that's world famous, you know, you basically are feeling guilty about saying you're an actor and having to list your resume, all the credits, till they figure out, oh, I've seen you in Seinfeld or whatever it was. And now with Pirates being out there, the joke's on them if they don't recognize me in all the makeup. So that's kind of cool. It's a little bit of psychology back at them.
And what would you like to see them do more of?
You know what? I don't think you could ask any more of the fans this day and age, especially at a con like this. They go all out if they like your movie, and I think that's to be encouraged. You know, just keep it safe. Be safe and sane. Safety first, I'd say.
Now, some fans, you know, can be rude. Different individuals feel different ways.
Sure.
How do you deal with that?
Well, you know what? I'm pretty much cool to everybody. If someone's super rude, obviously they'll get a little bit of rudeness back to them. But for the most part, I understand that, like, a lot of people may have, I don't know, apprehensions in dealing with another human. Like, we're something better, something different, because we're actors. And I see us as not anything better. We just happen to be entertainers. You know, we have a good job. Doesn't make us better people. So you kind of have to earn the good people part on your own, you know, by being a good person, you know.
Now, these days, when do you find yourself acting or feeling like a fan? Who does it take for you to really feel, oh, my God, that's so-and-so?
I don't know, but you know what? Anybody that has it, it hits me like it hits anyone. I'm still starstruck. You know, even on the set of, say, Pirates, when you see a Johnny or you see a Kira in Orlando, you know, you catch them in a certain light, you feel it. You go, that's a star, you know. And that magnetism of, in our industry that's only been around 100 years, there's something special about the way we capture the soul on that film forever. I think that's a magic quality. For me, it could be an athlete. It could be a politician. You never know. It could be, like, you know, Representative Murtha. When I met him, I was like, oh, my God, Jack Murtha. No way, Jack Murtha. You know, so each to his own, I reckon.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Professor.
I love that clip.
That is awesome.
I love that clip.
It's a great clip. It's a very good interview. And I love his responses because he reminds us that, you know, actors are people.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're people. They're talented. They're more well-known, but they're people. And they have the same kind of things we've got going on.
You know, and he nailed it, is that we forget that they're people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a plus and a minus side.
Yeah.
Is to just... Part of what he means, I think, is just be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're in films. Yes, they're on TV.
Right.
Yes, they're an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just people.
Right.
So, number one, you know, you don't have to stammer. I mean, admiration's fine. But also, if you're going to be a jerk, they're people.
They're going to give it back. They could very well give it back, yeah.
They got heart. They got skin, you know?
They do.
So,
they do.
Yeah.
They do. And I know it's tough, you know, being somebody that's very well and easily recognized when people come up to you and, you know, you get most fans, I think, are pretty cool about stuff, like you said. I think that's the experience I've heard most actors say they have. But you do have the occasional people who are just out of control, and it can get a little unnerving.
Well, you know, even on Twitter, and there's sometimes I want to reach into Twitter and say, no, stop, please don't do that. Don't ask that. Don't ask that again. Don't keep saying that again. And I'm not the Twitter police.
No.
I'm not the fan police.
No.
But, you know, I feel for these actors.
I do,
because
too.
Sometimes people just have nothing else to do but just pester the living tar out of these actors.
Yeah.
I'm dusting off a soapbox. I really didn't mean to, but I mean, I'm just be cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, there's nothing more that I would love than to hang out with, spend, you know, the day with talking to these guys. But I also get that they need their privacy, and granted, they're accessible on Twitter. But you know, I kind of tend to leave them alone.
Well,
not that I don't love them, because I do. But
sure.
I just, you know, I feel bad for them because sometimes I know they get kind of hassled. But I think it's cool that he gets it, because he himself gets starstruck, and I think that's the other thing we forget as regular people, you know, not in show business, they get starstruck too.
Yeah,
I mean when you think about it, that's kind of funny. They get starstruck. They're stars themselves, and they get starstruck. It's very amusing. Anywho.
Yeah.
So back to Lee.
Right. So Lee played a studio head in a comedy called Action.
Hmm.
And it said that it gave him a glimpse. He said it also gave me an honest assessment of the industry and what I was getting myself into. And so, you know, because sometimes... Yeah, my opinion, we know some actors,
mm-hmm.
it's a fight to get there.
Yeah, it is.
It's a fight to get noticed, to get cast, to get the role. And once you're there, then sometimes you fought so hard to get there, then you start looking around at all the characters, and there are characters like the studio head here and others, and you kind of go, wow, I didn't notice that person. And that, and it's just, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, actors will tell you that they go on hundreds and hundreds of auditions to get that one part sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. Yeah. So people think that all it is, oh, I'm just going to go put on really fancy makeup and these clothes and I'm going to say these words and that's that. And there's so much more to it than that. So much more to it than that.
Lee says he credits, according to what I got from IMDb, he credits fear of failure as his main motivation.
Hmm.
And I think that's a lot of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't think we can do it, you know, podcast, acting, anything.
Right.
And he admires the talents and creativity of such legendary actors as Paul Mooney, Lon Chaney, Boris Karloff.
Wow.
And makeup.
And you know, that actually, you can kind of see that influence in him because, I mean, look at, he's got so many different accents, so many different looks, so many, he's very versatile.
Yeah.
And that's, honest to goodness, when I first saw Pirates of the Caribbean, I honestly, truly believed that he was British. I had no idea that he was not.
Mm-hmm.
So that just is a testament to how great he is with his craft. He's clearly worked very hard at it and he's very good at it.
When I heard that he was going to be cast as Grumpy. You know, when we've seen the Disney cartoon, there's only a certain amount of time for that cartoon to kind of play. And a cartoon is not a TV show. You have a little more time to kind of show a character, all the different sides. And in the cartoon, it's kind of not as much time. But I really enjoyed the way you see both sides of Grumpy. And you even see it before he turned Grumpy. And so here's my favorite scene from Once Upon a Time with Lee Ehrenberg. And yeah, just my favorite. So here we go.
Not even close.
You didn't find him?
Worse, I lost him.
Come on.
Where are you taking me?
Home. We all lost someone today.
Now we're seven.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. So you're coming home with us, Snow, and we're going to protect you.
The only thing that needed protecting is destroyed. My heart.
It will get better.
Yes. Yes, it will. This will take all of my feelings, all of my pain, and destroy them.
No.
Why? You, of all people, should understand. You've lost love. What if your pain could be erased?
I don't want my pain erased. As wretched as it is, I need my pain. It makes me who I am. It makes me grumpy. Look around, Snow. You're not alone anymore. I promise you that's all the cure you need. If the pain's too much, you can always drink it, but for today, put it away.
Okay.
So good.
I know.
And I said it before, is even though the story is going off in so many different directions, they find these terms like home, protect, family, brotherhood, and these things just resonate with people.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So even though the story may be different than what you've read or what you've seen, that there are things that you can latch on to through it. And, you know, Lee is the anchor. I mean, look, in the scene when Snow White is in the jail.
Yeah.
Again, the anchor telling the story, you know. And
he's got a very commanding presence.
Yeah.
He really does.
Right.
When he's on and when he's talking, you listen to what he's talking about. You listen to what he's saying because he's got some pretty amazing wise words. And, you know, I mean, that's, I know that's a character of Grumpy and that's how he's written. But honestly, I think the way Lee portrays him is what is most compelling, because you do, you sit there and you want to know what he's going to say next and how he's going to say it. He's really, really very, very talented. Very talented.
I mean no disrespect to David Paul Grove at all. But Grumpy is the leader.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so. Because in the cartoon.
Disney, Disney movie.
Grumpy was kind of like, get out of here. You know what I mean? We don't want you spoiling our parade, right?
Right.
But in this, even the Dwarf Revention, right? He was in charge. He was saying, come on, Snow, we need, come on, we got to make a nice meal. He's in charge. Yeah. Even when Stealthy and Grumpy were leaving, you know, Grumpy made the decision.
Right.
Do I follow Snow? Do I go with Stealthy? He goes, no, Stealthy's got me this far. That brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I love this show.
Mm-hmm.
It is written so well.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and that's why we're doing this podcast. There's plenty of things we could podcast about.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the one we're doing.
Right.
So, you know, just again, what Lee has brought to, you know, this role is really an incredible thing. And, you know, just the interesting way. I didn't even see it coming. You know, come on, Mary. I'm going to show you how we can sell all these candles.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Jump? Don't do that. No, no, no. Takes a pickaxe, knocks out the power.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
So.
I did not either.
The writers and Lee have done so much to kind of, you know, bring this group of dwarves and people together. You know, we've not seen the seven alter egos work together. We've seen a number of them in Granny's Diner. You know, we saw Leroy, Walter, Stanley, Mr. Clark.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And then we see them together in the party for Mary when she got out of jail. But we really haven't seen them work together. And I think that's what season two is going to be about.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it'll be interesting to see how that works. So,
but yes. Let's see. And I want to play one more clip about Lee's involvement with something called My Life, My Power. Now, we've caught up to where you were with me yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. This is the re-record.
I know.
I think we've done pretty well with the re-record. It's almost, I think it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
Kind of. So, here we go.
Hey guys, my name is Daniel Puter. I'm the founder of My Life, My Power. I'm an undefeated mixed martial arts fighter. Today I'm here with Lee Ehrenberg. We're talking, well, you've been in Pirates of the Caribbean, you're on TV, you're a superstar. So what does My Life, My Power mean to you?
Well, I mean, it really means to me that, you know, empowering each and every kid to realize to go for it, live your dream. It's kind of like what we do in Hollywood on a daily basis, you know, is we're living our dream. And you know, that's the challenge. You know, it's how do you set a dream? How do you go for it with power and enjoy your life, live your life to the fullest? I mean, that's what I try to do every day, bro. One bad day in school isn't going to make or break you, you know, for the rest of your life. Usually the people that pick on you in school usually end up better than them when the time you hit your 20s. And you look back at your high school reunion and you go, why was I worried about you, bro?
What advice would you give to kids to stay healthy and in shape?
Well, man, definitely eat right, exercise. I mean, don't just sit around the video games all day. If you're going to play video games for an hour, go outside for an hour, run around. You know, I think that's the most important thing. It's like mind and body, they go together. And learn to read. I mean, I think reading and writing and being as smart as you can will carry you a lot farther than being able to play a video game. That's the truth of it.
Start a My Life, My Power Club at your school today. Come on, do some good now. Stop this bullying. End this problem. It's an epidemic. We need to stop it now. Thanks, guys.
Another great side of Lee.
Yep.
And yeah, the more we kind of take a closer look at all these cast members and even producers and crew, it's really neat to not only see just fantastic talent, just such a life they've led, but also their heart, what they care about, what's important to them. And that's always been kind of a part of this podcast. It's the heart aspect.
Yeah.
We care.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can kind of tell that, that Lee has been, you know, bullied. And you know, it's really neat that we're kind of focusing on that now. There's a lot of that. In Whispers of Life is another thing about gay teen suicide, about bullying and that kind of a thing. And giving hope to people. And so this is another thing, My Life, My Power is about, you know, don't be bullied. You know, it's your life. You know, take the power in it. And, you know, you don't have to take matters in your own hands. Just focus on your life. Make it your power. And you can do it.
Right.
Don't listen to the voices that are coming at you. Listen to what's inside of you. You know, and I think it's really cool that you know, these stars, these celebrities, you know, they could do a lot of things, right,
mm-hmm.
with their time in the limelight. But, you know, when they start to care and they start to help people
mm-hmm.
and share, I think it's really incredible. So,
Mad love and respect for you know, the ones that do, and especially for, you know, folks like Lee.
Yeah. And there's a lot of hurting people out mm-hmm. there. You know, gay, straight, all kinds of folks are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really neat about these types of things is it's just, you're not alone.
Right.
You know, the voice of Lee, the voice of these people that are doing these films and all these groups is saying, you're not alone. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to go through Mr. Lee Ehrenberg's huge body of work. He's been in so many things. As a matter of fact, he is a producer, writer, and an actor. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that. I actually didn't know that he had produced and stuff. So that's pretty awesome.
He produced and wrote In the Gray, a project that has a 2012 release. So
sweet.
And he also wrote a Diary of a Pirate, which he also directed. So he's directed, produced, wrote, and he is also an actor. So way back in the day, we did talk about he was in Perfect Strangers with Bronson Pinchot.
Bronson Pinchot, yeah. That's awesome.
And he was in Sledgehammer. At,
I actually
kind of wild
that show.
Comedy.
Yeah.
In 88.
Yeah.
He was in Columbo, 1989. There was a little revisit of that series.
Yes. In the late 80s, yeah.
Yep. And he was in, as we mentioned before, Tales from the Crypt in 1990. And he was also in V.I. Warshawski.
With Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, 91.
Wow.
And he was in Night Court.
I love Night Court.
Another funny show.
That was a great show.
And he was in Roseanne.
And I did not know that.
The Ghost of Halloween Past.
Oh, no.
Lee
serious?
Lee Ehrenberg, yep.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Her Halloween shows were pretty epic, so that's pretty awesome.
And he was in Step by Step, one of your favorites.
I know, I loved that show. I'm such a geek.
Now, let's geek out for just a second. So the opening shot.
Yes.
Well, where was it filmed? It was set in where?
The opening shot was set in Port Washington, Wisconsin.
Right.
That's where they quote-unquote lived. There really is a town called Port Washington.
Yes.
But they're visiting an amusement park that is very definitely, without question, Six Flags Magic Mountain mm-hmm. in California, in Valencia, California. What's interesting about it is that right next to Colossus, which is the big wooden roller coaster that's seen at the last point of the opening shot, there's like a beach with like waves crashing, mm-hmm. which is hilarious because if that was the case, all those cars would be underwater. That's the parking lot for Magic Mountain. So they kind of photoshopped in or did some movie magic with adding in a beach to the backside of that, which is hilarious because it's totally not Wisconsin at all. It's very funny.
Yep. I've been to Wisconsin and it's not there.
Yeah.
So
and some of those classic rides that they're riding don't even exist anymore, which is really kind of cool that you can see that stuff. But anyway.
Yep.
Anywho.
YouTube and TV shows are great little time capsules for stuff.
They are
actually.
Indeed. They are indeed.
So Deep Space Nine, he was in RoboCop 3 in 93. Okay. He was also in a Married with Children episode.
That's funny.
And he was in a TV series called Bakersfield PD. He did a role in 93. And I actually can't remember that.
I don't recall that show, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. Because 93, I don't know what I was doing. Well, I was, I don't remember what I was doing, but I wasn't watching TV much. Well, if I was watching more dramas, I think, back then.
Yeah. So Car 54, Where Are You? Was a redo of the classic.
It was a movie of TV the classic show. TV show. Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of fun.
He was in that in 94.
Okay.
Star Trek The Next Generation, 93, 94. Did a couple of guest stars spots. He was in Waterworld.
Which actually is, I was kind of surprised I liked it. I thought it was a pretty decent movie. I know a lot of people thought it was crazy and silly and whatever, but I did like it.
And, you know, we were talking about it initially, is that the Waterworld stunt show has more acclaim than the Waterworld movie.
It does. It's,
people love that crazy stunt show.
Well, because it's actually a really good stunt show.
It is.
We saw it not too long ago. We had last year, 2 years ago, we had passes to Universal, and we went and hung out one day and did the stunt show, and that was really fun. It was actually really cool.
You know, we've been to Isles of Adventure in Florida.
Yes.
Much better park than Universal in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's
much
true.
Better.
Yeah,
obviously, that's true. It's bigger, but
more but, more thrill rides. That's that's the thing.
Yeah, Universal next to Disney's, but I'm telling you, Islands of Adventure, that's
a pretty awesome,
pretty
place.
Good, pretty good park. Yeah. So, and Lee was also in an episode of Lewis and Clark: The New Adventures of Superman. So,
you say Lewis and Clark or Lois and Clark?
Lois, Lewis and Clark. That's a different.
That's a very different spin on Superman. Lois and Clark.
I think we recorded this episode too many times. I think twice is too many.
It is.
Good Lord. Anyway, Lois and Clark with Terry Hatcher. There's the phone.
Awesome.
And you know what we do? Coal Services. Don't call me when I'm recording. Don't call me. All right. So anyhow, so Lee probably met Terry Hatcher.
Oh, yeah. And Dean Cain.
Dean Cain. Mm-hmm. So Lee was also in an episode of Sybil.
Which I love that show. 1996. That's Sybil Shepherd. That was a funny show. Yeah. That was a very funny show. I really liked that show a lot, actually.
And to me, one of the more important films that he's been in was 1996, Mojave Moon.
Yeah.
Because Mojave Moon had Angelina Jolie in it.
Yes.
And Lee, listen to me. Lee, this is Jeff Roney talking to you here. If you have any Angelina Jolie stories, we have a voicemail line, Lee. Or hell, call in. I would love to talk to you about your career. But if you got one Angelina Jolie story.
Yeah.
I would love to hear it.
Yep.
You can email me, you can tweet me, whatever you want. But, you know, we're here for you, brother. Call up the show, you know. But just the one thing I ask, one Angelina Jolie story, brother. That's, you know. You know what?
All right, you're killing me.
All right. I figured I'd ask. Okay. He's never going to call in. I was going to go, that guy's weird.
Yeah, probably.
That guy's a weirdo. He was in Nash Bridges.
Okay.
And one episode. He was also in Seinfeld. We mentioned that before. And he was in Silk Stockings. I said that right this time. Yeah, I got all
flustered.
Discombobulated last time. Silk Stockings. And he was in Friends.
Yes.
We talked about that.
We talked about that earlier, yeah.
Yep. And Star Trek Voyager. He was in Angel.
Which is a Buffy spinoff.
That is correct.
And we talked about the fact that Jane Espenson may or may not have written some stories for it.
Sure. I haven't had a chance to check it out.
I
think so.
Well, if nothing possible. Else, she might have been a consultant. If she didn't write any. I mean, that's possible because, you know, I mean, anyway.
Yeah. We're the podcast that talks about things that were possible.
Yeah. Because you know what? We like when our listeners contribute to the podcast. Yeah. It's not all about us.
True. He was in a couple of episodes of Arliss and a couple of episodes of a show called Action. We've talked about that.
Yes.
He was in a CSI, Crime Scene Investigation.
Sweet.
In 2001. Play Joey, the ride operator.
Oh, I think I remember that one.
See?
Oh my gosh, I think I actually remember that one.
And here's another one that I had no idea. He was in My Wife and Kids.
Really? I like that show.
And we know somebody.
My Wife and Kids?
Okay.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. My Wife and Kids. That was another that.
A totally different show that you're
My Wife and Kids,
of.
That was with...
Damon Wayans.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He and Lee was in an episode of Charmed.
Nice.
He played a demon.
Okay.
Lee.
Well, you know, hey, yeah. that's the versatility of Lee.
Well, in Charmed, you know, they got demons.
Well, sure they do.
Yeah.
Sure they do.
He was in an episode of Scrubs.
Really?
See?
And I like
all
Scrubs.
All over the place.
Scrubs
Man,
is
all
awesome.
These different roles.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, mm-hmm. 2004, mm-hmm. he was in an episode mm-hmm. of that. Star Trek Enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the fourth one, I think.
Was that the fourth one?
Episode.
Okay.
Yeah, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine,
Voyager
Enterprise.
Enterprise.
Yep. So he's been in all four
except for the original, which, again, we talked about, he would have been a very small child
know,
at that
I know,
time.
I know. Gosh. He was in Pirates.
Of course he was in Pirates.
Happily Never After. He did a voice.
Nice.
He was in Pushing Daisies.
Which loved that show. And I'm so mad they took it off the air. Yeah. It was such a great show. We look forward to that show like every week.
I know. You know, and I love Kristen Chenoweth. And
yes.
I had no idea she was a little shorty.
Oh, she's tiny. She's the most petite little thing. She's adorable. And she actually frequently tweets about how much she misses that show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Kristen Chenoweth. She's a cutie patootie.
She is. She's very adorable. And very talented, too.
Yes, sings and acts, and
mm-hmm.
she's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. Okay.
Yep.
So, The Cape.
Oh.
Lee was also in an episode of The Cape.
Interesting.
Short-lived show about a superhero on television.
Okay.
And Once Upon a Time, also in The Gray, and we talked about that too. But yeah, Once Upon a Time. Dun da da dun dun
That's
dun.
Awesome.
If you follow him, he will probably tell you when he's filming.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
He'll probably
He's really, really, he's really good to, about that.
Yeah,
so.
He's very good about it. Talking about
very open to the fans, mm-hmm. very good on Twitter, and we really appreciate that.
Yep.
So again, we're going to end this main show. And, you know, seriously, there's a lot of heat in the U.S. and in Canada, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Very hot. And, you know, people have been without power for days and days. And, you know, we send big love to you and just hang in there.
Yep.
It's rough, man. You know, mm-hmm. look, whether it's global warming or not, it's still hot as you know what.
Right.
So, you know, but we send big love to you and take care. And we're here. You know, we can't do a whole bunch, but, you know, we're feeling for you and just
mm-hmm.
hang in there. So we will talk again. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You sound like I was choking there. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.